Welcome back once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. My name is Vincent, and together with me on Aeronauts again, we have Boss and Aldrich. So, guys, before we start our topic for today, let's talk a little bit about last week's episode and also your activity for the past week. Let's start with Boss.
Buenos dias. My week has been a little bit hectic. I did a very early morning work shift today, so it's sort of draining me. So please forgive me if my answers and you know is sort of partial. So yeah, I'm doing my best right now. And other than that, okay, we spoke last week about Boeing. Basically, we explain about what is Boeing all about, where they're heading, what they actually, what kind of models they were dealing in, and what kind of engines. There was also a fun fact that we actually threw in, I threw in, Jay. And other than that, the further information Aldrich will be discussing because he did the podcast. So let's just turn to him right now. So Aldrich.
Okay. For last week, I was just working routinely, and then on the weekends, did some runs, and that's about it. And last week, we did a session on Boeing, where we talked about what company are they in. I mean, in aviation, of course, but other than that, where are they heading, and opinions on Boeing in the future. That's about it.
All right, so let's talk about this episode's topic, where we'll be talking about turboprops and also the aircraft manufacturing company, COMAC. So as mentioned by Audrey last week, we'll be talking about turboprop. So anyone care to explain what turboprop stands for? And when we mention turboprop, is turboprop actually a company, or who are the manufacturers of this so-called turboprop?
Okay, a turboprop is a turbine engine that drives an aircraft propeller, where it starts with an induction, compression, combustion, and exhaust process. The main difference is that some of the power generated by the turbine is used to drive the compressor and transmitted through the reduction gearing to the propeller. Propeller itself is normally a constant speed variable pitch propeller. The example of the aircraft are the ATR and the de Havilland Twin Otter and some Cessna types of aircraft. Yep, that's it.
In layman terms, it's the engine that has a fan outside. That's a turboprop, and that's the layman term that I could think of. So around Malaysia, whenever we talk about turboprop, normally people refer it as a Fokker 50, because a Fokker 50 was generally been used in the country that we are from. So that is why whenever we talk about a turboprop, they will always refer to a Fokker 50. So that's just one of those informations that you actually have. So yes. And companies that similar to like how mentioned by Aldrich, that is the Dash de Havilland 8 series, and then there's also a 7 series previously actually. And then the Twin Otter, which is Air Viking currently having, and also they have the ATRs right now. So these are the current ones. Probably we'll be discussing more towards Bombardier Dash de Havilland 8 as well as ATR today. So yes.
Right. So, Boss, you have experience in the ATR fleet. So, you know, this company, the ATR. Let's talk about it. Let's talk a bit about them.
So then, ATR was formed around 1981 as a joint venture between Aerospatiale of France, now known as Airbus, and Air Italia, currently known as Leonardo of Italy. So their main The company's main products are actually ATR-72 as well as ATR-42s. So then ATR started off with their first model ATR-42 during the 1980s, and they targeted to compete with two types of aircraft. One of it was the British Aerospace HS-748 as well as the Fokker Friendship 27. And on 1984, their first ATR-42 model actually did its maiden flight, and the success of the demand of a larger version of the aircraft coming up. ATR decided to launch the ATR-72 to reflect its increased passenger capacity. And along the way, in order to maintain a technological edge and maintain competitive market in the 1990s, they improved the version of the aircraft along the way. And then they came up with the ATR-42-300 with a similar body size. And then they came up with the ATR-42-300 QCs. And then they improvised along the way. So that is why as they improved with the ATR-42, they also improved with the ATR-72 as well. So when it came to the 500 series for both versions, the ATR-42 as well as the 72, it was a major production change where they actually changed they actually equipped it with the brand new Pratt & Whitney engines. The latest at that time was Pratt & Whitney 127 engines. They increased the propeller blades from initial 4 to 6. And it was they increased the weight as well as better passenger cabin. And in the late 2000s, this will be the final launch of the 600s, where they introduced glass cockpits, which promise lower fuel burn and better operating costs. It's actually the models are similar to the 500 series. It's just that they have better engines, better engines and glass cockpit, and minor cabin improvements. So ATR actually boasts that their airliner takes off and lands every 8 seconds around the world. So yeah, that's just a small little fun fact for you. And just for your knowledge, the ATR 72-200 series, because I'm familiar with the 72s, so I will just specifically go around there. The ATR 72-200 series, actually the cabin entrance door is actually in the front. And similarly, and then along the way, with the 200-300 series, they noticed that the front of the cabin can be used for more cargo space, hence they actually moved it to the back. The ATR 72 has two cabin crews, and the ATR 42 has one cabin crew. That's because ILO states that you need to have, if you're having more than 50 passengers, you may need to have two on board.
Like you mentioned, out of those aircraft, airplane models,
they were
manufactured by ATR.
Mm-hmm.
The most commonly used around the world is actually the 72 and the 42, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So, what does the 72 and 42 means actually?
Basically, they actually tell us about the amount of passengers we can actually carry on board. So ATR 72 carries 72 passengers on board, and the ATR 42 carries 42 passengers on board. That's the only difference.
So it's kind of a fixed number, I guess.
It's a fixed number, yeah. So I think it's not like Boeing or Airbus, where the 330 is like, it doesn't say that it's 300 passengers, or 747 has about 747 passengers. No, it's not like that. I think they wanted to simplify the ATR's modeling. So they just said, okay, since you're carrying about 72 passengers, yeah, we are calling it ATR 72. We are having about 42 passengers, so we're calling it ATR 42. That's it.
So, Audrey, care to share why did ATR actually came out with 72-seater aircraft and also a 42-seater aircraft?
For me, basically, I think the 42 model, they want to sit less people so that the aircraft is also shorter and also capable of short field takeoffs and landings. And that's most probably it lah, because the 72 model also has a capability of short field landings, but then the engines are they have a new engine on it on their wings, I think a few years back, to cater for more powerful takeoffs and in hot and humid countries.
Is that right, boss?
Okay. Okay. Let me just make it very simple. Okay. In total, although I mentioned there is a ATR-72 and there's an ATR-42, but there is derivatives from that. It derives into four. Okay. So there's the ATR-42, and then there's the ATR-42-600 stall, which is the short term for short. Oh wait. Let me just get that detail out properly. It is short takeoff and landing, yes. And then we have the 72-600 series, and then we have the ATR's 72-600 freighter, right? Now, how we actually evolve from the 100 series all the way to the ATR's 600 is, yes, as mentioned by Ulrich, engine improvisation. So initially, we started off with Pratt Whitney 124, then we evolved into the Pratt & Whitney 124B, and then we evolved, to the 127, and it's just an improvisation and much basically the newer the model, the more fuel efficient it is lah. They try to make it simplified in that case. So yes.
Right. But what actually came into your mind when you started ATR? I mean turboprop.
Okay, the reason why turboprops let me put it to you this way. ATR, the turboprops actually existed before even the jet ages. It was actually going on for some time. And then they realized that the turbojets were actually much more better and faster. So people started to dump all of their turboprops and everything, and they started operating strictly for jet aircraft. But what happened is, on the 1960s, the fuel crash suddenly started to happen. So everyone was basically losing money because of high fuel prices, and they realized that the turboprops actually are much more fuel efficient for short regional flights, normally for about 1 to 2 hours max, in other words, to make understanding simplified. So like this, that is why ATR, they concentrated specially on turboprops, where they cater for regional flights depending on your particular passenger load. So that is why they have two basic seatings. One is the 72 passenger seating and the other one is 42. So like for some particular routes, it makes sense to actually have ATR 42. For example, like in the Maldives, they actually have ATR 42 because the passenger load, they reduce the passenger capacity, but they give more frequency. And like for areas like in Indonesia or even in Australia and all these places, they actually cater basically for the 72 because there are more passenger loads going to main cities from regional cities. So that is what ATR actually focused on. Yes, it is actually one of the aircrafts that I am aware of. For a turboprop that is quite fuel efficient, we burn approximately about 600 kilos per hour of fuel. So I believe on the 737s, they burn about three times of what we actually burn. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it into a simple understanding, just layman understanding explanation. Okay. So, like, we operate from, Subang to Penang, which is about 1 hour, and Kuala Lumpur International to also Penang, which is also about an hour. So, I'm carrying about 72 passengers full, and I'm burning about, on average, about 600 kilos. And the same, same 737, which is carrying about a full load. So if you really put it under economics, it's we actually do save more fuel, technically speaking. So yeah, that's the closest I could think of lah to explain right now.
Just now, boss, you mentioned the 500, the 600 series.
Yes.
So I actually wanted to ask Audrey, what are the difference between the 500 and the 600 series?
Okay, the one that Audrey is handling, the aircraft, is actually a 600. The one that I am working on is actually a 500.
So what are the major differences, or is there just like a little tweak on it?
Actually, this one let Audrey answer, and then I'll tell you the difference between the 500s.
Okay. Basically, the 600, the main difference is the cockpit and the avionics, because the cockpit, compared to the 500 series, they have analog cockpits, old school cockpit, and for the 600s, they are using the glass cockpit, where it's all digitalized and a lot of colorful colors on it. So, other than
that, hello, even my cockpits are colorful, okay.
Yeah, but it's more bigger screens, you know, bigger LCD screens. And then, wow. And then one more thing is their safety. It's like something to do with the ECAM, like from the Airbus, the system will tell you what to do. Like say for engine failure, they will tell you what to do, what procedure you need to do. And then the avionics, I think, is a little bit more better. And then some of the ATR 72-600s, they have a black window paint, I think.
You mean the raccoon eye, lah.
Yeah, for those.
Okay, okay, I agree in what Audrey mentioned. However, we are not so old school, lah. Please, you make me sound like I'm flying a dinosaur, lah. Please. Okay. Yes, the 500s are actually more analog. However, we do have screens also. It's just not it's only restricted to our, we call it EHSI and EDI, right? Yeah, we actually have the EHSI and the EADI. The EHSI stands for Electronic Attitude Direction Indicator. And the EADI is the Electronic Horizontal Situation Indicator. So basically, these are the two things that we actually have. So all our engines are actually analog. And okay, I personally have not worked on the 600 series, but from what I was told from those who had the privilege to actually fly the 600s and the 500s, they did mention that flying a 600 is like flying the 380. Everything is very, very simplified. So if at all you're having an engine failure, the procedures are actually displayed in the screens itself. And yes, as mentioned by Ulrich, yes, the avionics is much more better. The fuel efficiency is better. The cabin, actually, you will actually know the difference in a sense where it's much more, the seats are much more slimlined and it's lighter and more LED. And, you know, and when you compare to the 500 series, it's slightly traditional, I would say. So the seats are much more comfortable, bigger, and like certain airlines that I'm familiar on, they actually have like LCDs coming down from the from every four seats, there'll be one LCD screen coming down. So it depends, like if I'm not mistaken, like Azul in Brazil, they actually have such feature lah. However, over the aircraft that I fly over here, it's analog. And I'm proud of it. And yeah, it's quite straightforward, lah. Nothing much to say. But yeah, this is the difference between the 600 and the 500s.
Let me ask something more technical.
All right.
In terms of the business plan, what is ATR's future plan?
ATR actually proposed on the mid-1980s for the model of the ATR-82, which was initially designed for 78 seats. The derivative of the ATR-72, and they were actually at that time they were actually planning to do some studies about it. However, it was formally suspended in 1996. And then they re-brought it up again, this time at 2007, to respond to the Q400X, the Bombardier Q400X proposal. So they floated with the idea of having a 90 to 99-seater stretch. And it was then later decided that it was considered part of the future 900 series in the ATR family. And then in 2011, the 90-seater ATR was proposed to shareholders, and then back and forth. They decided to, they actually planned for a 2017 launch. However, Airbus favored a more medium-term introduction with the hybrid electric engine. So, like, as we actually did the sustainability about Airbus initially. So yeah, then they decided to maintain the ATR 72 and the 42 models at this moment. Since we were talking about Airbus lately, Airbus actually mentioned that they want to start the hydrogen fuel-based aircraft. So probably ATR is actually working with Airbus, or Airbus is working with ATR, in other words, to ensure they have to create such an aircraft. So yes, they are following the basis of what Airbus is following.
All right. Let's talk about Bombardier.
Okay.
What is Bombardier all about, and what's their history like?
Okay, Bombardier is actually a Canadian manufacturer of business jets. They are also formerly a manufacturer of commercial jets, public transport vehicles, trains, and recreational vehicles. But mainly, we're going to talk about aviation. So, but then for Bombardier, in July 2018, Airbus acquired 50% in the C-Series, and they had built a second C-Series assembly line at its A320 assembly line in Mobile, Alabama. And in February 2020, Airbus acquired additional 25% stake in the A220 for US $59 million. This was the final step to get Bombardier Aviation out of the commercial jet industry.
Now that you've mentioned that Bombardier, Airbus has a 50% stake in Bombardier.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, you cannot consider Bombardier and ATR as competitors, since they are, Airbus owns shares in both these companies.
Initially, they were direct competitors in a sense where, although Bombardier was actually handling business jets and also the Dash 8s, they were actually initially direct competitors. Only lately, as in after they invested in 2017. Now, they became a sister company to Airbus at 2017 after the partnership, similar to how Singapore Airlines and Silk Air or FlySchool is. So the Q400 in the 1970s, at that time, De Havilland Canada had invested heavily in its Dash 7 projects, concentrating on the short takeoff and landing and short field performance type of performance. So the company, it's actually their expertise. It's their traditional expertise, because in Canada, you are basically flying into short airports and short runways and all these things. Their market felt quite compelling. However, there were only a handful of actually carriers buying that aircraft. So, and they were looking more for more interested in operational cost and short field performance type of performance. So then in the 1980s, they decided to actually launch the Dash 8 series, which was around 1938. So they extended, they normally grow. So they started off the 100 series, and then they launched the 200, then the 300, and then proceeding to the 400. So the 100 series caters about 37 to 39 passengers. And then the 200 series is the same one. However, with better performance. And the 300 series was actually stretched, so they actually had a 50 to 60 passenger range. When the 400 was launched, it was about 68 to 90 passengers, and that was how they actually grew. So the Q400s were the latest of the latest, where they actually introduced. The Q400s were actually launched in 2009. They launched it in 2009, and they concentrated that. So they already made it clear that they will cease producing of Q200, 300s, and also the 100s along the way. And the Q400s or the Bombardier's philosophy was, although we are propellers, we must be as fast as regional jets. So the Q400s were actually a turboprop aircraft which have lower fuel consumption that can operate from shorter runways than regional jets. But they have slightly higher engine maintenance costs for shorter range and lower cruise speeds. So that was their pros and cons. And when the world oil prices drove up the short-haul airfares in 2006, the increasing number of airlines that had bought regional jets begin to actually reassess, thinking about, oh, the turboprops actually might make more sense compared to getting a regional jet, because it was about, if you compare a regional jet and a turboprop jet aircraft, you are comparing about 30 to 60% less fuel usage than regional jets, you see. So then they realized that the Q400, the Dash 8s were actually good, similarly to the ATRs. So that is why they actually opt to do this. And mind you, the Q400s actually have a cruising speed close to most of the regional jets, and its mature engines and systems require less frequent maintenance and reducing its disadvantage. So there you have it. That is the Q400. Initially, it was a direct competitor to ATRs, because for the company that I worked, they actually were contemplating whether to get the Q400s or the ATR-72. So when it's like, again, it comes back to a question like how we spoke about Boeing and Airbus. It's like comparing a Toyota car and comparing a Honda car. We are comparing one with fuel efficiency and we are comparing one with time efficiency. And, you know, we're comparing one with maintenance and we're comparing one with performance. So, yeah, so basically this was the competition. Now, on the other hand, I do not know how Bombardier or where Bombardier is heading, because, again, I'm not personally working on the Q400s. However, I would say that when they initially launched the Q400s, they have a better range compared to the ATRs. They have better speeds compared to the ATRs. And I mean, the passenger-wise, it's about the same. But the only thing that Bombardier didn't really, at this moment, they didn't upgrade themselves in a sense where, like the ATRs, they have the 42 series, so they can cater for 42 passengers. Whereby the Bombardier, they just kept growing and growing and growing, and they sort of forgotten the smaller aircrafts or the lesser passenger kind of situations. So yeah.
Audrey, as you have mentioned just now, you said that there's a possibility of them exiting commercial aircraft. Is that right?
Yes, Bombardier was actually bought over by Airbus and Average. So yeah, probably since they have already acquired the company, so they are going to be sharing intelligence with the ATR, so that you know, they will probably try to make ATR aircrafts much more up to par or something like that, somewhere along that line. I honestly don't know. So let's just see what the future holds for Bombardier versus ATR live, that in that sense. But as for the ATRs, we actually have mostly Asian related. When I say Asian, it's more like warm climated aircraft lah. So it's, you can find them basically in, I think, Southeast Asia, is other than the Philippines. Actually, even in the Philippines lah, we have a lot of ATRs. and down south at Australia, and then at New Zealand, and then in Africa. Yeah.
All right. So China just came out. I mean, China just announced that they'll be manufacturing their own jet blades. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and they call themselves COMAC.
Yes.
So, care to share what COMAC is, Audrey?
Okay, COMAC, which is Commercial Aircraft Corporation of China, is a Chinese state-owned aerospace manufacturer established on 11 May 2008 in Shanghai, Pudong. It's mainly, yeah, mainly a designer and a constructor of large passenger aircraft with capacities of over 150 passengers.
The first flight was conducted in 2008, and the first launch customer delivery was actually in 2015. So, mm-hmm. at this moment, these are the aircraft that is that are flying. And then another one is actually the C919. Yeah, and they are launching a new aircraft. So both, I mean, these two aircrafts that they actually created are basically... it's just another aircraft direct competitor towards the McDonnell Douglas 80 series and the Boeing 717 series.
Right.
Yeah, so their passenger load is about 71 onwards, on average 70 to 105. And the C919 is also, is another launch that is, I would say, technically direct competitor for the A220 and the A320 series, as well as the 737 MAX series. So they are, yeah, because they're using the same engines, if not mistaken, they're still using the same LEAP engines that they are, that the Airbus is using, actually, for the Neo series. And they are launching the first wide body at 2023 called the C929. It is a wide body where it can handle about 250 to 320 passengers on board.
That's a lot.
But this is actually a joint venture between UAC, the United Aircraft Corporation from Russia, to challenge the monopoly of the Airbus and Boeing companies. So COMAC actually joint venture with the Russian United Airline Corporation to, you know, challenge Airbus and Boeing. Yes.
Right. But the only issue right now is that, you know, this is a Chinese state government-owned company where, at the same time, US actually, you know, they prohibited everybody, any American company for actually investing in this COMAC.
Mm-hmm.
So what would the future hold for them, actually? I mean, US investors come in and invest. Do you think they can still compete with all the top manufacturers?
Okay, this topic is very delicate to say because... I would say it's very delicate to actually say because... it highly depends on how the world actually operates, lah, politically speaking. Okay, if COMAC can actually prove that their performance is better than the Airbus and the Boeings, people will buy. And of course, they will get FAA rating, and then they will get the, you know, the JAR rating, the CSR rating, and all these things. So yeah, they will get them, but it comes into question where I want my model to come out. So you know, it'll be a war, if you ask me. Okay, China will ban all American aircrafts cannot come into the country. You know, and then you know, America will ban all Chinese aircraft coming to the Chinese-made aircraft coming to the country. So, I hope it doesn't end up in such sanctions. As I said earlier, I'll just stand where I say if they can prove that their aircraft can perform better than these two developers, people will buy. At the end of the day, dollars and cents count, and companies are looking to make a good profit. and give good service for passengers. That's all I will say.
Based on the data given so far,
mm-hmm.
there's a total of at least close to 1,400 orders of these aircraft. I mean, combine both the ARJ21 and the C919.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a lot of the order. It's close to the number that ATS has delivered the aircraft.
Yes.
Mm. But the issue is all these aircraft currently in operation is only the ARJ21s, you know, flying in the air. So which are the airlines that are actually operating this ARJ21 currently?
At this moment, the ones that I'm actually seeing right now are Air China, China Eastern, China Southern, and they also have firm orders of 10 by GE Capital Aviation Services. So they are a leasing company. Right. And in America, that one, then there's more to it. But to be frank, there are more Chinese supported airlines that is actually buying the aircrafts compared to outside the country.
But actually, have you seen like snapshots or screenshots of those the planes internally?
From what I have noticed, the cockpit looks similar to how A220 looks like. All right, and when it comes to the cabin, it looks similar to how it looks like how a Airbus or a 737 narrow body look. They have like a six in a row, 3x3 configuration.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite
similar. It is a set narrow body, but it's very similar to.
It's very similar
to the narrow bodies that we know of.
Yes, and the exterior of the aircraft, if you notice for the C919, it has the nose is similar to a 787. Mm-hmm. And the tail looks similar to how A220 looks like. So it's like, I mean, engineers would have built it according
hybrid.
To proper. It looks like a hybrid, but I'm sure the Chinese engineers actually built it according to good efficiency. So let's just see what actually comes out from them. Like, honestly, we don't know. Because we haven't really purchased them, so we don't know, honestly speaking.
All right, so one final question before we end. Would you fly this aircraft that is manufactured by COMAC? Both of you.
Given the chance, I think I would. I would. It's not to say I would not. I would. Because at the end of the day, if your company is buying that, you have to fly the plane, right? So I would actually fly it. I would actually fly it.
And Audrey, I will. If it's not Boeing, I ain't going kind of guy.
No. You forgot the other detail. If it's not Airbus, I'm taking the bus. So when it comes to that one, I don't know whether he wants to fly a Boeing or he wants to fly an Airbus.
Maybe he wants to fly a COMAC.
No, what makes it even more interesting right now for Audric's situation is if it ain't a Boeing, I ain't going. If it ain't an Airbus, I'm taking the bus, but he's working on an ATR right now. So I would find it really ironic. So yes, what is your say? We are looking forward to what do you say about COMAC. Would you fly one?
For me, I would fly one, but consider with the past incidents or accidents, if the aircraft is certified properly by the governing bodies, and they have been tested thoroughly and safe to fly, then I would consider yes, I'll fly the aircraft.
All aircrafts are built for safety, lah. So,
because you know, COMAC is a new company and a new jet, so. Not many passengers are flying on it yet, and not many airlines are flying it yet. So, not so willingly to fly it yet, actually.
but actually, the ARG of the first delivery of the ARG has been in 2015. technically the aircraft is, I don't know, on air for about 5 years.
Yeah, they've been flying for the past 5 years. And at this moment, their record is clean, lah, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, so far, I've never heard of any incidents yet. Lah.
Yeah. We have not personally heard any issues, so...
So it's one to consider.
Just for your information, Comac was actually... Ryanair actually had an agreement with Comac 919, yeah? For information.
Right, so you'll be in coming to Europe very, very soon.
Technically speaking, yes, but I do not know whether it actually did happen or not. So it's I don't know whether it they proceeded with it or not. So that is just one of those things lah. Right. To do lah. And since it's Pilot's Day, happy Pilot's Day to both of y'all.
Right. Yeah, Pilot's Day right today.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just end. Let's call it a day. Right, so care to do the summary?
Okay, so the summary that we're doing about today will be the turboprops, the main competitors, the mainstream competitors, which are the ATRs and then the Bombardiers. And also we discuss about what ATR type and their variants and what are the difference between the 600s and the 500s and their predecessors. And also, we have discussed about why they didn't take a jet and they prefer a turboprop only because, yeah, we have discussed about that. And their outlook. After that, we have discussed about Bombardier, which is a French-Canadian company that was taken over by Airbus and, you know, where they're heading and so on. And we have also gone into Comac, the Chinese carrier. So since we were talking about the ABCs, the first one is Airbus, Boeing, and today we discuss about Comac and where they're heading with certain sanctions going on. Are they going to be bought or where are they heading? So yeah, we have discussed about that. And next week's episode, yeah, that's all for today's summary. So now... Okay, so next week we will be talking about the engines. We'll be talking about piston engines. We'll be talking about the turboprop, the turbofan, and the turbojet engines. So we will be discussing about it. Earlier, Aldrich gave a brief insight of how it actually works on what turbojets or turboprops they are. So we will go in-depth about it in the following week. Yeah, so I'll hand it over to you, Vincent.
Right. Let's make this a bit more interesting to do the ending. I'll allow Audrey to do the ending.
Okay. Thank you once again, dear listeners, for tuning in to our Aeronauts podcast. For the latest news and updates, please follow us on our social media pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Aeronauts. That is AERONUTS, AERONUTS. And we're going to talk about the differences between the turboprop, turbofan, jet, and the piston engines on the next episode. So give us a follow, like, and share on our social media platform. And your feedback is greatly appreciated as we progress on our journey together. That's all, guys. Thank you for your time. See you guys on the next episode.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Audrey.